and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his war cabinet. Secretary Blinken says the U.S. is determined to do whatever it takes to prevent the Israeli-Hamas conflict from spreading. He's also discussing what comes next.
We will be talking about how we can set the conditions for a durable, sustainable peace, durable, sustainable security for Israelis and Palestinians alike.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, explosions were heard overnight as the Israeli military continued its offensive through near nonstop land, air, and sea bombings. The military is also surrounding Gaza City. CBS's Ian Lee has the latest from Tel Aviv.
Israel's military says the encirclement of Gaza City is complete as the fighting expands deeper into the territory. Hamas says an Israeli airstrike on the Baraj refugee camp Thursday is believed to have killed at least a dozen Palestinians.
House Republicans have passed a bill that includes funding for Israel, but the Senate says that bill is a non-starter. Here's CBS's Nancy Cortes.
The White House has threatened a veto, and the bill has been declared dead on arrival in the Senate, where many Democrats and many Republicans want to send funding to both Israel and Ukraine right away.
The House bill also comes with cuts to the IRS's budget. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried has been found guilty on 7 counts of defrauding customers of his cryptocurrency exchange and investors in a hedge fund out of $10 billion. CBS's Errol Barnett reports.
Mr. Bankman-Fried has now experienced one of the most swift falls from grace in modern memory, almost 1 year to the day since his crypto trading company, FTX, crashed. He is now a convicted felon, and it's not over yet. The government is bringing additional charges severed from this case in a new trial to begin in March of next year.
So far, Bankman-Fried faces up to 115 years in prison. Dwayne Keefe D. Davis has pleaded not guilty at his arraignment in the 1996 murder of Tupac Shakur.
Are you familiar with the one charge that you're facing?
Davis, who is now 60, is believed to have been in the car from which shots were fired, killing the famed rapper. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows fewer high school students are vaping. Erica Sward is with the American Lung Association.
The American Lung Association is very pleased to see that youth high school tobacco use overall declined from 16.5 to 12.6%.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to end race-based consideration in higher education programs take another step. The Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee took up a bill Thursday. Among other things, it would guarantee admission to Wisconsin State Universities and technical colleges for high school students who graduate in the top 5% of their class. It would also take race out of the equation for financial aid decisions. Governor Evers admits he hasn't visited any state prisons recently, even though 3 inmates have died in 4 months. People in prisons in Waupun, Green Bay, and Stanley have had to stay in their cells around the clock since March due to staffing shortages. Families say they're concerned about their mental and physical health. Evers says his corrections secretary visits the Waupun prison every day. Democrats introduced a slate of bills looking to improve prison conditions on Thursday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Craig Counsell meets with the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Manager Craig Counsell reportedly meeting with the New York Mets. Counsell and the Mets' new president, David Stearns, worked together for 7 years and got along together well. While Stearns was the GM of the Brewers, Counsell's contract with Milwaukee expired earlier this week. The Brewers have re-signed pitcher Colin Ray to a one-year deal worth $4.5 million guaranteed. The team has him under option through 2025. Former Packers defensive back Rasul Douglas, now in Buffalo. What was his reaction when GM Brian Gutekunst called to tell him he'd been traded to the Bills?
My initial reaction at first, because Goody called me at first, I thought it was like a joke. He just was like, we're trading you. And then, like, it was over. The conversation was over. I just hung up. And then, like, I'm sitting there, and then, like, Mark Murphy called me. And, like, he got a voice that's, like, you know it's him. So I'm like, oh, nah, this ain't no joke. He was like, yeah, we're trading you to the Bills.
That's Buffalo Bills defensive back Rasul Douglas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy today with a chance for scattered showers. Highs around 51. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight, 36. Highs around 51 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Friday, November 3rd. It's another beautiful day to have you up here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, by podcast, by social media. Nice to have you up here on the shores of Lake Wissota, just outside of Chippewa Falls, where we're talking to all of Wisconsin and unpacking the news each morning from our home base, 93.5 The Tap in downtown Chippewa Falls. Here's what's on tap this morning. There will be elections next week, just not in Wisconsin, but in some battleground states, as voters continue to show an inclination that they're holding Republicans accountable for attacking women's health care rights. Also closer to home, a group is running ads in Wisconsin holding the new Speaker of the House accountable for supporting the overthrow of an American election. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about some of the other national headlines of the week. Mark Jacob is off this week. We'll see him next Friday. And I hate to break the news to you, it came down late yesterday, but the impeachment circus is back in Wisconsin. You'll recall that a court ruled recently that Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf cannot be fired by the Senate. Everybody thought that might shut up the assembly, but no. A right-wing group's TV ad campaign, headed up by our old friend Michael Gableman, appears to have frightened Assembly Speaker Robin Voss enough to say that he's going to move forward with an impeachment process against Megan Wolf. So we get to talk about Michael Gableman and Robin Voss yet again to ask, what does it take to finally put a stake through the heart of crazy 2020 conspiracies? We'll also have the weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky. Again, Jimmy Koska on high school football, Dan Schumacher on the rest of sports and heading into the weekend. And you can be a part of it all right here at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can also text your comments or questions to that same number. Just send a text to 844-967-2789. Or use the Civic Media app. You can use that to text us. You can use it to call us. So get that app downloaded and listen to us. And you can send us an email as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching this radio program as a live video feed on our Facebook page, you can just post a question or a comment there, and we will be very happy to take that and address your comments or concerns or questions. 6 o'clock temperatures include 35 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. We've got 32 in Hayward. Pretty much all these temperatures are anywhere from 10 to nearly 20 degrees warmer than this time yesterday. Wausau's at 36, Green Bay 41, La Crosse 42. Wisconsin Rapids is checking in at 40 degrees, Madison at 42. Oshkosh is 42, Park Falls is 35. And down in Waukesha, it is 41 degrees, where we find one Greg Bach at the Shaw, WAUK, down there on the I was going to say near the shores of Lake Michigan. You're not quite as close to Lake Michigan as I am to Lake Wissota, but, you know, a good stone, not a stone's throw, maybe a stone's heave, to get to the lake.
2-3 people heaving that stone. It's a jaunt.
Yes, it's more so at the rush hours than, it's pack a lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
How are things down there?
Things are good. Still dark outside. Mm-hmm. I'll take this 41-degree weather. I mean, it's no heat wave, but it's better than 22. So,
yeah. No, it is. The teens that we had up here earlier, I could totally do without that. So we've gotten to the end of our first week together, we get to ask about your weekend gig, which includes a little bit of ha-ha. You spend the weekend going ha-ha so you can sit here with me and go boo-hoo. So tell us more about the ha-ha.
The ha-ha occurs at the Laughing Tap, which is a comedy club that I co-own in Walker's Point, which is a neighborhood in Milwaukee. For those not familiar with the area.
Beautiful neighborhood in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's gorgeous, very historic. And yep. We are an 80-seat, independently run comedy club. We have shows every weekend. Sometimes we have some Thursday shows, some Sunday shows, but Fridays and Saturdays are our bread and butter. We have a Wednesday open mic. So, Pat, if you're ever in the neighborhood on a Wednesday and you're like, I want to try them ha-has, I don't know.
No, everybody knows their limitations, and I know mine. Mine's left to the dry, rye, occasionally gets you a giggle, but if you're looking for laugh out loud, me on a microphone, it'll only be when I wet my pants at the thought of doing that. So
okay,
I've got that going. What do you have for a lineup this week?
So this weekend, tonight, we have one show. Tomorrow, two shows. It is a gentleman named Nate Apshire. He is a nationally touring comedian. He's been on all the cool things. He's very, very funny. We've had him back. This is the second time here. We had him here last year. And then we have a wonderful gentleman named Chris Schmidt hosting. So he'll go on first, do about 15 minutes. Then a young lady named Caitlin Chekarowski from Chicago, also very funny. And then Nate. So it's three comics, about 90 minutes. If you want to get tickets, it's laughingtap.com. So 7:30 show tonight, 7:30 and 10 o'clock show tomorrow. And and the great thing about our club, I want to say, no drink minimums. A lot of comedy clubs you go to, you're paying that $15-$20, and they're like, all right, well, that'll be a $12 pint of hams.
Yeah, right.
And you want to get a $15 plate of nachos? It comes with four chips.
Yes.
So
Not you. No, I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Serious question. Yeah. The Saturday night shows, can they run like even longer? Because Saturday night, you get to, as Cher likes to say, turn back time. I mean, do you get an extra hour of comedy? Do you make them just stay up there for an extra 60 minutes?
That means you want me there till 2 a.m.
I'm not saying I'm going to be down there. Yeah. I'm just saying you've got all that extra time. No, I hope it's I hope it's fun. I think people will be much more relaxed knowing that they get the extra hour of sleep as well. So
yeah.
So sounds like it'll be fun. Yeah. All right, good. In our daily newsletter that you can find over at upnorthnewswi.com, we do have that reminder about turning your clocks back this weekend. Also, some new tailgating ideas to break out of your pregame snack rut. And there's also my summary of our radio interview on Wednesday with First Nations educator Paul Ricken about the importance and the value of teaching Native American history and culture in Wisconsin schools as a way to help all of us be better neighbors. So again, sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. And on social media, I haven't done a TikTok for a while, so I have an explainer video on TikTok of why Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call are suing Republicans in the legislature about those frozen pay raises for UW system employees. Selena Heller has a video report on there about Black River Falls addressing their teacher shortage by having a lot of their alums come back to their hometown and become teachers there. And on our Facebook feed, there's also, if you haven't heard already, Simone Biles was at Lambeau Field again last weekend for her hubby who's on the Packers, and she had some very nice things to say about Wisconsin hospitality. One more quick note that there are newsletters that you can get as well that we are putting together from some of the people that you get to know here on Up North News Radio. Our friend Mark Jacob has a new newsletter called Stop the Presses, a weekly newsletter about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what we can do about it. Kia Vakil, you'll hear from him in about 15 minutes or so. He has Frontlines, a bi-weekly newsletter to get you up to speed on the local political stories you need to know from key states ahead of the 2024 election. A couple of others there as well that, again, you can find at couriernewsroom.com and sign up for those newsletters and get all the more informed than you are just listening to this fine little radio show. All right, let's unpack the news. Again, if you'd like to chime in, react to the stories, vent a little, share what's on your mind with a statewide audience, 844-967-2789, or comment on our Facebook video feed. And we'll review any Facebook comments and take any phone calls at 6:50, right after our daily history lesson and some musical memories. We talked about President Joe Biden and the rural economy a bit yesterday, about his trip to Minnesota. And as I've been writing up the story about it, I did find another snippet of audio that I wanted to share from you. He talked about, and the audio we played yesterday was about trickle-down economics and how that was especially bad for rural Wisconsin. It told people, it told farmers, you know, get big or get out. Corporations got bigger. They got all kinds of, you know, tax breaks. They engaged in market manipulation. And now what the Biden administration is doing is rolling up its sleeves and saying, hey, how about if we invest in the rural economy? And so here's a few seconds of him talking about some of the things that he's been done, that he's been doing, and how he thinks that's good for the whole country.
Today, I'm proud to announce new funding that will go directly to rural communities. $1 billion to fix aging critical rural infrastructure like electric water, like electricity, water, wastewater systems that haven't been replaced in decades. All that means good jobs in rural America. The bottom line is this. Instead of exporting jobs overseas for cheaper labor, now we're creating jobs here and expanding American products and selling them overseas. Yeah. Folks, we're not only transforming rural communities, we're transforming our economy. A year ago, experts said a recession was almost guaranteed. Remember, months ago, a recession is coming, a recession is coming. Well, guess what? Just last week, we learned the economy grew by nearly 5% the last quarter. Proving the experts wrong.
And I think that's the part he enjoyed most, was getting in that dig about how the experts a year ago said the odds of a recession are 100% within the next year. And that has not happened. And so the Biden administration yesterday announced some more rural initiatives. They include modernizing a wastewater treatment plant in Edgar up in Marathon County. That was built nearly 100 years ago. A new feed handling system at a farm in Kewaunee County that'll save enough energy to power more than 100 homes. And then financing to provide technical assistance for nearly 60 cooperatives and other groups to make food systems, forestry, manufacturing, and veterinary services more efficient. And as we note, as we've noted in the past, both parties share responsibility for overlooking the rural economy as it struggled to keep up with a global marketplace and a shrinking tax base. But now a presidential administration is getting the work done in some of these small but essential hometowns. So we wanted to share that. When we come up next, we'll talk about the open enrollment period that's here for the Affordable Care Act. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
The Shaw, WAUK. It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This one, I miss Glenn Frey, Smuggler's Blues there on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio. That song, along with Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight and more, were part of the Miami Vice soundtrack album, and that was the number one album on this day in 1985. The Bucks are back home tonight. They'll take on the New York Knicks, try to break out of a mini slump here now that they're 2-2 on the season. You can hear the Bucks-Knicks game on some fine Civic Media radio stations, including News from the Center and Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and WCQM 92Q Country in Park Falls. Packers play the Rams Sunday noon at Lambeau Field. You've got the WIAA High School Football Playoffs third round tonight. Jimmy Costa will tell us more about that in a little bit. You also have girls and boys state volleyball tournament going on as well. Speaking of volleyball, the Badger women, number two in the country, put their 21-1 mark on the line tomorrow night at home against Illinois. That match begins at 7 o'clock. Badger women's hockey plays at St. Thomas tonight and tomorrow. And the fifth-ranked Badger men's hockey team is at home against sixth-ranked Michigan both tonight and tomorrow. Let's unpack some more of the news coming up on 622 here. The open enrollment period is open for the Affordable Care Act and the Marketplace. That is good news for a lot of folks who either need to get coverage or need to review their coverage. And it really is important for anybody who's getting healthcare coverage. And frankly, this isn't just the Marketplace. It's almost anybody who's got a healthcare plan. This is the time of year to look at your coverage. And I know insurance language can be very arcane and confusing, but this is the one time a year to sit down, do your homework, and look through all this and say, am I on the best plan that I could be on? Because there are others out there. There's competition out there for many people, and you could end up either paying a little less per month in a premium, or you could be getting more coverage from a different plan for the same amount of money, or you could be getting, you know, premium support so that you can actually get rid of the excuse of, well, I can't afford to have health insurance, when the fact of the matter is you can't afford not to have health insurance in this day and age. So every year through the Affordable Care Act, folks who have plans there can, between now and January 15th, take a look at their plan and the other plans out there and make a switch. You can make switches other times during the year, but only for, you know, major life events that take place, certain milestones, and you can read about those online. In Wisconsin, the site you want to go to is called wiscovered.com, as in I'm covered by health insurance. So wiscovered.com, and you will get free expert help getting benefits that are just right for you. This is a website created by the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services and other partners. You can get connected to a trained insurance expert, not some shyster that you see on TV. You can explore the types of coverage through Medicaid or a federal marketplace plan. You can find out what kind of financial help is available and get some of your other questions answered. Again, go to wiscovered.com for this open enrollment period. It opened this week, and it will stay that way until January 15th. But if you get it done before January 1st, then you're assured of having coverage throughout the entire year of 2024. There's a new group out there running TV ads in Wisconsin and other states about the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson from Louisiana. Recall that yesterday we played some audio from Senator Tammy Baldwin. She and other women from the U.S. Senate called a special news conference just to tell Mike Johnson that the right-wing extremism that he's known for is not going to fly in the Senate. And I will note that Johnson has already taken the first step to show that he's learned nothing, as House Republicans and a handful of Democrats yesterday passed a bill that would provide more aid to Israel in the dumbest way possible by funding it entirely by taking money away from the Internal Revenue Service, money that's used to catch wealthy tax cheats. So it's bad on that front. It's bad that it once again skips out on aid to Ukraine, just as the war is heating up there with Russia. And it's a non-starter in the Senate. It's going nowhere. And yet that's where Mike Johnson wants to go. So there's a group called the Republican Accountability Project that is starting a new six-figure ad campaign highlighting his extremism about the 2020 election. It focuses on Johnson's efforts to overturn the last election and to disenfranchise voters in Wisconsin and other states that Donald Trump lost. And he continued that effort even after the violence of January 6th. Johnson supported that 2020 lawsuit that would have disenfranchised millions of voters and swung the election to Trump. It's the one that was started by the Texas Attorney General, the one that Tom Tiffany signed on to as well, the congressman from up north. And by doing that, that was Tiffany's way of saying, I don't care how you voted. I want to decide who won this election. He and Johnson voted not to certify election results in a couple of states. And so these ads are running on Fox News primetime this week in all of the states where Johnson sought to overturn the will of the voters. And that includes Wisconsin, as well as Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania. The ad closes by saying that Trump wanted to steal your vote. Speaker Johnson helped him. Today's GOP is a danger to our democracy. And it will play during all the Fox primetime shows in the Milwaukee market, as well as places like Philadelphia, Atlanta, Detroit, and Phoenix. So the Republican Accountability Project, a little bit more about them. They have said that they see that Republicans, many Republicans, want to simply move on. But here's what's stuck with me. They write, without accountability, there is no clear path forward. And that's why we've launched the Republican Accountability Project. To that end, we will support Republicans in Congress who, at great personal and political risk, are defying party leadership and defending the institutions of our republic, but also work to unseat those who have tried to overturn a legitimate election and supported impunity for political violence, including strategically recruiting and promoting primary challengers through our political action committee. And we will push back against lies and conspiracy theories about widespread voter fraud and rigged elections. And like I said, this really sticks well with me because there are people who say, well, let's just see where the chips fall in 2024. And if, you know, if Trump wins, well, that's, you know, that's what Americans want. No, crimes were committed. Somebody tried to overthrow the government, essentially, in trying to overthrow the results of an election in the United States of America. That deserves accountability. There have been hundreds of people who invaded the United States Capitol on January 6th who have faced that accountability in court. But that accountability has not yet come to members of Congress like Mike Johnson, Tom Tiffany, Ron Johnson, and certainly not to Donald Trump. And so for those who look at measures that are trying to keep Donald Trump off the ballot in Minnesota, Colorado, and some other states, yes, in some states, Wisconsin included, those efforts have fallen short. But those efforts should continue, all in the name of accountability. You can't be for, quote unquote, law and order only when it's politically convenient to you. Coming up next, we're going to have Courier Newsroom correspondent Kia Vakil. More about this week's top stories. You can catch his reporting at upnorthnewswi.com. Back after this, you're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his war cabinet. CBS's Ian Lee reports from Tel Aviv.
He says he's focused on protecting innocent civilians caught in the crossfire, getting humanitarian aid into Gaza, and reaching a sustainable peace between Israel and the Palestinians.
The House has passed an Israel aid bill that also cuts funding to the IRS. House Speaker Mike Johnson explained why.
That was the easiest and largest pile of money that's sitting there for us to be able to pay for this immediate obligation.
Those cuts plus the lack of funding for Ukraine has prompted the Senate to call the bill dead on arrival. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried has been found guilty of defrauding customers of his cryptocurrency exchange and investors in a hedge fund out of $10 billion. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams.
This kind of fraud, this kind of corruption is as old as time, and we have no patience for it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is moving forward with impeaching the state's top election administrator. He moved articles of impeachment against Megan Wolf to the Assembly Committee on Government Accountability and Oversight on Thursday. That's after a group launched a six-figure ad buy calling for Voss's removal if he didn't move forward with impeaching Wolf. That ad was filled with incorrect statements about Megan Wolf's involvement in the 2020 presidential election. Governor Evers says he's leaning on Senate Democrats to get an American Family Field maintenance bill passed. Democrats have said they don't like that the bill spends almost $500 million in public money, but asked for much less from the Milwaukee Brewers. The governor says he's persuaded some Democrats to vote for the bill. He says any significant changes to the bill might kill Democratic support. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy today with a chance for scattered showers. Highs around 51. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight 36. Highs around 51 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say, real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community in. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Mm-hmm.
On this Friday morning with Kia McKeel, national correspondent, Courier Newsroom. Kia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I am well. Happy it's Friday.
Yeah, we're going to have a busy week next week. Again, not in Wisconsin, but as we've discussed once or twice this week, a few other states are holding elections, and they will be bellwethers as we head into 2024, arguably none more so than Virginia. They always seem to have the big, you know, odd-numbered year elections. And I know we've talked about this before, Kia, but I think it bears repeating because it hasn't changed yet since the Dobbs decision. Reproductive choice has been a big matter. And the discussion of do Republicans in Virginia, do they want an abortion ban and they won't say so, or what, seems to be kind of a thing of contention there. What's your take on what's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, they very much want one, and they're saying so. They're just trying to call it a limit instead of a ban.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a creative, however you want, marketing, let's say. Mm-hmm. But no, Governor Glenn Youngkin, who's a Republican, there is a Republican-controlled state house, but a Democratic-controlled state Senate in Virginia. But all of those seats are on the line. And Republicans, you know, Youngkin included, have said, you know, they're pushing for a 15-week quote-unquote limit. It's a ban. It's a ban is a ban is a ban. But this is what their focus group polling, I suppose, has told them is their best approach to handling an issue that has wrecked them in elections over the past 18 months. But, you know, will that pan out? We'll see. I'm extremely skeptical because what we know is that voters do not support abortion bans. And just as importantly, do not trust Republicans on this issue at all. So, you know, if they're campaigning on a quote unquote limit, I don't know that voters are going to believe them. That's where they'll stop.
Sure. And the thing about Virginia, not that there aren't close elections elsewhere, but it seems Virginia's legislative elections recently have been very closely divided, with just, you know, a seat or two determining control, which just lets me get on my soapbox again to remind people to vote all the way down the ballot. Your legislative races matter, and so does your vote. Every vote matters. And so I was a little troubled by this headline out of Virginia that the absentee ballot rejection rate has been higher for non-white voters. And, you know, that's just the kind of thing you don't want to see, you know, right on the eve of an election.
No, you don't. You know, our Virginia newsroom, The Dogwood, published this on Thursday, that, you know, Black voters are having their absentee mail ballots rejected at a rate of over 5%, which is quite high. And that's more than twice as high as the rate that white voters are being rejected. And this is largely occurring in places like Richmond and Hampton Roads in Virginia, which are, you know, have large Black populations and are, you know, two of the areas that are going to determine control of the legislature. And so, you know, that's alarming. The Department of Elections there is run by the Youngkin administration. He appointed a political operative who is a Republican to run it. They also accidentally, quote unquote, purged over 3,000 voters from the voting rolls, you know, in the past month or two. And, you know, maybe it was an accident, but they did not own up to it until last week after early voting had already been underway for weeks. And so, you know, this is at the minimum, it's just incompetence. And it could be more than that. We don't really know. But what we do know is either way, it has a really, it could have a damaging impact on, you know, voters and their ability to actually participate in the elections.
To think to live in an era that is this hostile to democracy from some corners. Let's turn to another state where we have a Courier Newsroom outlet, and that would be the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina, where their gubernatorial election isn't until next year, but folks are already talking about who's likely to be the Republican nominee for governor in that state. And he, have I used the word unorthodox already this week? I guess we use it here too.
Yeah, so in North Carolina, Mark Robinson, who is the current lieutenant governor, he's a Republican. North Carolina is one of the states that has separate elections for governor and lieutenant governor. So while the state currently has a Democratic governor, it has a very, very right-wing lieutenant governor who, you know, is extremely anti-abortion, extremely anti-LGBTQ. He's made anti-Semitic comments in the past. And so, you know, our newsroom put up a story on Thursday about his education policies, and he's someone who's accused public school teachers of indoctrinating children, violating the rights of Christian parents. He's tried to, you know, he wants to, you know, further divert public funding to private schools using vouchers. And these schools can be religious and discriminate against people who don't share the same faith. You know, he doesn't believe in climate change. He doesn't believe that history should really be taught the way it's supposed to be taught. So he would be immediately, and this election isn't until next November, but he is the likely Republican nominee, and he would be the most extreme governor of a swing state in the country.
Really not sending their best and brightest to the gubernatorial race in North Carolina. Let's head over to Michigan, where our outlet The Gander has been reporting on how Democrats there are trying to curb abuses of payday loans.
So payday loans, you know, are these really predatory loans that take advantage of people who are struggling financially. Basically, they're short-term loans where, you know, you can go and get up to $600 ahead of your next payday or paycheck. And these are usually used to cover emergencies like rent, you know, if you don't have it, money for it, or a medical bill or a car payment or a repair. The problem with these is they have pretty high, you know, service fees, up to 15% that accumulates. And a lot of people take out one loan to pay the previous one. And so it really creates this cycle where each of those service fees adds up. And so Democrats are trying to cap what those fees can cost. You know, the term is an APR rate, which, you know, people might be familiar with for credit cards and loans. Those can rise as high as, you know, nearly 400% now on payday loans. Oof. And Democrats are trying to cap it at 36%.
In Michigan as well, there's a video that Kyle Kaminsky, one of the correspondents there, put together about how just one small town in Michigan is benefiting from American Rescue Plan funding. And yeah. I spoke at length yesterday about President Biden's visit to Northfield, Minnesota on Wednesday, and all about his rural agenda. And I was throwing around numbers like, you know, $1 billion for this and $1 billion for that. And this person in Michigan made clear that, now by comparison, obviously $1 million, you know, doesn't do much in the big scheme of the federal budget. But if yeah. you're a small town with needs for yeah. a presidential administration to recognize that small towns across Wisconsin need help too, you could tell he was quite grateful about that.
Yeah. So this story is about a village in Michigan that's, you know, 500 people. And they have a park that is one of the, you know, centers of this rural community, and they're getting about $1 million of funding through the American Rescue Plan that then goes from there to a Michigan agency that then provides it to the town. And so it's going to be used to, you know, improve this park, add pickleball fields, repair the tennis courts, and parking lots and playground equipment and the pavilions. And, you know, in a, I have not been to this town, but, you know, for a small community like that, parks are a huge deal. They're one of the few truly public places where people can gather without spending money. And, you know, we know rural communities have had a brain drain, have had some economic issues and other issues. And so, you know, creating and renovating these spaces is a huge deal. It helps bring communities together. It creates jobs. You know, it shows that the government is not going to abandon rural America the way it has been for decades, across both parties, frankly. So it's a huge deal that a lot of these funds are going to these communities.
Somewhat related to that is the Biden administration's actions lately on helping to increase the amount of stock of affordable housing or provide relief for housing. Again, it's just one of these things where we're so used to hearing about, you know, aid to other countries or trillion-dollar budgets. And people are just, I was going to use the line, the rent is too damn high. Frankly, it is for a lot of folks. And so any assistance you can provide shows an administration that's plugged in to, you know, the things that regular Americans go through every day.
Yeah. So obviously housing policy is largely handled at the local level and somewhat at the state level as well. But there is a role for the federal government to play, you know, obviously through FHA mortgages, through lending, through guidance. The federal government owns a lot of land, especially out west. So there is a lot that can be done. And so what the Biden administration is doing is launching a multi-agency effort that is intended to encourage the conversion of, you know, these big empty office commercial buildings and have them be converted to residential use buildings with the goal of prioritizing areas near public transit. And obviously there is a climate component to this because we know that public transit is better for the environment than driving and emissions. But really, we also know that over the last few years, a lot of downtowns, a lot of corridors, commercial corridors have these big empty offices since the pandemic and remote work became more common. And so there has been a lot of talk about converting some of these spaces. And so what the Biden administration is doing is trying to create incentives and encouragement and regulations to help local governments, you know, overhaul zoning laws and land use laws so that those conversions can occur.
So as we've looked around the states, I want to call attention as well that if folks have maybe a family or you've come from any one of these other states, Courier Newsroom has outlets in several others. We have the Keystone in Pennsylvania, where recent coverage has been about the bipartisan effort to legalize marijuana as they see all of the neighboring states around them taking action. Are you listening, Wisconsin Republicans, at this bipartisan effort in Pennsylvania? And then one of our newest outlets is the Nevadan out in Nevada. Nevada, I don't know. I haven't gotten into that fight yet with anybody. And all about the infrastructure jobs that are being added in Vegas. And I don't mean for the big wealthy casinos, but for regular folks who would like to see faster internet. So those are just some of the other things that, you know, Kia monitors as a national correspondent from all these outlets. But we're going to end with Tommy Tuberville, the senator from Alabama, the embarrassment from a state that at one point had Doug Jones as a senator, and now we've got this fool still holding up military appointments and still, I mean, at least if anything bipartisan happened this week, it was watching fellow Republicans in the U.S. Senate just absolutely light him up for blocking all these military nominations.
Yeah, you do not often see Republicans in the Senate, at least, openly just rip one of their colleagues in such an angry and just frankly like disrespectful to some extent, but also justified, because what Tommy Tuberville is doing is, you know, reckless. And because of the way the Senate is he can just single-handedly hold up a lot of these promotions for the military members, and that's not great. We just had the leader of the Marines have a heart attack. We obviously have I have no clue what could have caused that. We don't have his personal medical information, nor should we. But he has been doing two jobs at once because of what Tommy Tuberville is doing. And so, you know, watching Republicans light him up is satisfying. It's justified. But at the end of the day, Tommy Tuberville represents one of the reddest states in the country. And unfortunately, that's going to have almost no impact on whether he ends his blockade or not.
No. So more responsible heads are going to have to come up with something at this point. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil joining us as he does every week. Thank you, Kia. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
In talking about elections in other states, Greg, it leads me to this question, that there are some states like Virginia and others that have their gubernatorial elections in odd numbered years so that you get the focus, you know, just on the state, not on the federal races, the presidency and all that. We do ours in the midterm election. So there's still a lot of elections because they're always in even numbered years. This whole thing about having odd numbered year elections means you have big elections every year. Mm-hmm. And I love politics. I get tired just thinking about that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think we're going to have an election every single year for like, I think like 20 until like 2030.
No, we need a break.
Oh, this is one good break.
this was a good year for what almost counted as a break. Today's history lesson and musical memories. Coming up next, you're up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Under the helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
We got back of pride. We ain't going to drop three in a row.
You already dropped three in a row.
Not no more.
Not again, you mean?
See, here's the thing, Earl. If you play in a division of four, it's a different game.
Well, they played the Detroit Lions a division of four and got their heads handed to them.
But this is another one, the one we should beat.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Look, everybody can have their opinion on whether a song is, love when Greg Chair dances, whether a song is too sappy and sentimental or when it's just plain old beautiful. And Lulu here with To Sir With Love, that's a beautiful one. She's 75 years old today. Michael Dukakis is still with us, apparently, because it says here he turns 90 today. Happy birthday. I know. I'm always a little embarrassed when I go, wait, are they still? When somebody passes away and you go, oh, wait, are they still? Okay. So, yeah, Michael Dukakis, 90 years old today. Roseanne Barr, 71, allegedly still with us. Dennis Miller turns 70 today. And this is the anniversary on this day in 2020, 3 years ago, when Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump. Let me say again, for the factual history record, Joe Biden won the election against Donald Trump 3 years ago today. Jerry Lee Lewis had a little record released by his record company, Sun Records, on this day in 1957.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
Obviously, the biggest hit for The Killer. It reached number 2 on the Billboard pop chart back then and sold a million copies during its first 10 days of release. And we talk about people, you know, not knowing, you know, their longevity. It was only a year ago that he passed away, almost exactly 1 year ago, October 28th of last year, at the age of 87. And I want to make one other point about this, Greg. I just said that single, remember, as a record, you had to go to the store and buy it.
Yep.
Sold a million copies in its first 10 days.
Yeah.
I heard something on TMZ yesterday about somebody's record was the first to or the fastest to get to a billion listens on Spotify or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I just can't even, I said to my wife at the time, I said, I just can't really accept it because with so many bots are out there, everything is so automated, who's to say that a billion downloads actually happened of this song? You know people went out and bought a million records.
Oh, absolutely. You know? They walked down the record store. I will say this, that Adele track that we played yesterday for history.
Hello.
31.5 billion views.
Billion. Yeah, I don't doubt that the number's in the billions. It just, with the technology itself, it's like, how many of those were individual purchases? Yeah. How many were services, you know, buying things? It's kind of like, you know, tickets through Ticketmaster and things like that, you know? Let's see. Number one song this day in 1984 was by Billy Ocean. Yeah. I think the song got spoofed once or twice, if not by Weird Al and others. Caribou Queen seems to be one of the takes on it. A couple of notes from 1979, and we're going to play both of these later on. The number one album this day in 1979 was the Eagles' their sixth album, The Long Run, and we'll play the title track. But that album stayed number one for the rest of 1979, which would have been nine more weeks. The number one single this day in 1979 was Pop Music by M, better known as British electro musician Robin Scott. Or was it Greg Bach when you hear his impression of pop music?
Pop music, talk about pop music. Talk
that
about.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't
Thank
bad.
You.
I mean, when I suggested it, I thought your rendition was spot on.
How good was it? I just got a cease and desist order just now.
Boy, things really do work fast in this day and age. I have to do this to you, folks. I already mentioned that in 1985, the number one album was the Miami Vice soundtrack. You know, there are peaks and valleys in the charts. Here comes one of the valleys. The number one song this day in 1990 was the first rap song to hit number one, but it was this one.
Ugh.
Let's kick it.
You get the way. Hey, guys, let's kick it. Ice is back.
I'm embarrassed. All right, moving on. Greg doesn't want to stop. He's going. The coffee's finally kicking in.
Yeah. But
no. Today is National Sandwich Day, which brings up that age-old debate. I hate this debate, but people bring it up all the time. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes.
Okay, meat between two pieces of bread? I guess it's a sandwich. I tell you what, that debate is so old it's cliche, which is good because today is National Cliche Day.
Oh, I see what today, you did. Oh, just
thank you.
Oh.
It's National Homemaker Day. It's National Accessory Day. I don't know that I have an accessory. I've got my Apple Watch.
I'm your accessory.
You are my accessory. You're my plus one. It's National Fountain Pen Day. Which means it's also National Make Fun of People Who Still Use a Fountain Pen Day.
Ooh.
It's National Jellyfish Day. In honor of National Jellyfish Day, hey, pee on somebody's leg when they're done swimming, just for fun.
Oh, God.
It's National Love Your Lawyer Day, which means we have to bring out that old joke. You can love your lawyer, you just can't love your lawyer.
Do you want to hear a really good joke?
Yes.
What do you call 1,000 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
No, 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 no. Okay, go ahead.
A good start.
Yeah. Okay. So now my apologies to all my friends out there. This is National Japanese Culture Day, National Smart Home Day, and National Jersey Friday. I did not get the memo. I do not have my Packer jersey on for this week's game. And National Smart Home Day, I just want to take a little bit of issue with that because, again, I'm not anti-technology. But I will say that we stayed at a place, we spent an extended period at a place that had one of these high-tech thermostats.
Yeah.
And no matter how much we tried, looked at the manual, moved things around, changed the settings, no matter what, it had a mind of its own and would just go back to this god-awful cold temperature or wherever it was. I mean, and we were renting, so we couldn't like take a hammer to it. But all we could figure, and this is the downside of a smart home, you know, or renting a place like that, it's somebody else has the controls. You know, I can control my thermostat here through my phone.
Yeah.
And clearly somebody else had figured out how to do that or, you know, put up a setting and made it just impossible to change. So I'm all in favor of smart homes, but they do have their setbacks if not done right.
The robots are coming to get us.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have like a Roomba yet. I still laugh at people who have, you know, like, oh, I've got a smart vacuum cleaner. It goes along. Yeah, I've also heard stories, one I can't tell on the radio, involving a Roomba and a dog that had an accident and, you know, that it ended up spreading the accident instead of cleaning it up. So, again, smart homes, maybe not as smart as they can be yet. We're not yet in the age of the Jetsons, but we're getting
there. I want my food to rack a cycle.
Let's see. We have Jimmy Koska and Dan Schumacher in our next hour. You're up north.
Ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine. All I heard was shells falling on the concrete real fast.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. the Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the final home game of the season for Carroll University football this Saturday, November 4th. The Pioneers will also celebrate Senior Day as the Big Blue of Millikan University visits the Schneid. You can catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny, pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Carroll versus Millikan for the final home game this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
This is Civic. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.